Well, good morning, everybody. It's a good day, isn't it? I think church should be fun like this. I think we should just wake up, be prepared to come to church and have fun, fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? So today we are going to talk about some of the benefits of worship. See, worshiping God is vital to the Christian walk. It's not something we should feel obligated to do, but rather something we want to do out of our love for God. Because of what he's done for us, where he's brought us, where he's taking us, who he is. And in Matthew chapter 21, this is the scene where Jesus allows everybody to proclaim him as the Messiah, what we celebrate as Palm Sunday. And it says in there, the children were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." So all the people were saying this, but I grabbed onto this particular passage because it said the children were crying out. And the religious leaders were getting all upset, bent out of shape over this because they're proclaiming Jesus to be the Messiah, the Son of God. And how could you allow this to happen? And, you know, he says, well, if they don't do it, then the rocks will cry out. But then he also quotes to them a passage out of Psalm 8. And he says, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you, God, have perfected praise. Out of the mouths of the little ones, he has perfected praise. Many times we could read passages in the Bible where it talks about this childlike faith that we should have. Why is that? Is it because children are trusting? Children are easy to teach? Children will believe things without question? Those aren't bad traits. But many of us, as we get older, we find it a little harder to trust. We find it a little harder to be taught. Maybe we get a little cynical about life. Maybe we have a very good reason for that. But I want to encourage you right now, this very minute, to ask God to remove whatever barriers or hindrances you may have that are keeping him distant. Because things like trust, doubt, cynicism, hurt, pride, these are things that keep him distant from us, keep us distant from him, keep that perfected praise from welling up within our spirit. If there is something that keeps a person from worshiping God, then there will be a disconnect in our relationship with him. And if there is a disconnect in our relationship with him, there will be a disconnect in our relationship with others. That's just how it works. Could it be that what Jesus was talking about here was unhindered praise? Praising him without reservation. Because with unhindered praise, he will show up. And when he shows up, there is strength and there is might. Because one of the benefits of worship is it is a means of spiritual warfare. It is a means of fighting the devil because it drives him mad and it drives him away. Because he was the chief musician in heaven but thought he was better than God, and we see how that turned out. But he is so full of himself that to hear praises to God will drive him away. And so there's a few passages that I just want to go over. I'll put the scripture verses on the screen. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's a story of King Jehoshaphat. And he used his singers to sing and praise God while leading the army into battle. Does that make any sense? Wouldn't you want your chariots, or nowadays our tanks and everything else, in the front? He put the singers in the front. Because when you read the story, he prayed and he prayed about all of this. He prayed to God. And then when it came time to go against his enemies, he put the singers in the front. And then God caused the enemies to get confused and fight each other until nobody was left. And then the Israelites went in and picked up all the spoils. And that is what we can call a supernatural victory. And then in Psalm 149, it says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." In the New Testament, it speaks of the Word of God as being a two-edged sword. So we could bring this into modern day today. Let the praises of God be in your mouth and the Word of God be in your hand. Just that verse alone tells me that worship and spiritual warfare go hand in hand. In Joshua chapter 6, many of you are familiar with this story. The walls of Jericho were destroyed when the Levites marched around the city 7 times blowing trumpets. And then on the 7th time, they were instructed to give a shout unto God. And the walls came down. Jericho was the most powerful city in the land at the time, the biggest. And what they did back then was they built walls around their cities because it was a way of protection. Well, the walls in Jericho were so big that people lived in them. They had like apartments in there. So could you imagine? What are they doing? Oh, here they come again, day 6, blowing their trumpets. Well, big surprise on day 7 when they shouted, right? Again, that is a supernatural victory that was caused out of worship. You see, when we worship, God is fighting our battles. Walls will come down. Bondages will be crushed. Chains will be broken. Things in your life will melt away. And I often think of our musicians as modern-day Levites. They hear, I say this all the time. And I pray for them. I pray that God would continue to anoint the gift that he's given them to being musicians. Because musicians, they don't just show up here on Sunday morning and play all these songs. I've tried to play guitar before, and you don't see me playing. I have other gifts. But I pray for them, and I pray that God anoints our singers and our musicians and blesses them for what they do. And then when we practice, we pray for you. We pray for you. We pray that when you come here, that God will meet your needs. God will answer your prayers. God will touch you in a way that he's never touched you before. That a little bit of heaven will collide in your earthly realm. Again, so that the walls and the battles and the things that you're facing will come down. And you can experience a supernatural victory in God. And then oftentimes, worship has a way of bringing revelation or opening our eyes to certain things. And I'm going to read a passage from Psalm chapter 49. And it's up on the screen. And this particular passage is from the New Living Translation. But it says, "For my words are wise, and my thoughts are filled with insight. I listen carefully to many proverbs, and solve riddles with inspiration from a harp." Solving riddles inspiration from an instrument. This passage is talking about receiving revelation from the Holy Spirit with music. There's something special about music. I don't think anybody can contest that. And especially, there's music that involves the Holy Spirit. It involves the presence of Jesus. You see, during worship, our spirits are alive and awake. And it's much easier to receive answers to prayers and questions that we have. This is why worship should be a big part of our prayer life or our life in general. It helps us to hear from the Holy Spirit the things that are on His mind for us. If you're in a time of desperation and you need to hear from God, worship can bring that. And I would encourage you today, during worship, to allow yourself to receive what He has for you. And I'm not saying that, you know, as soon as the band comes up here and they sing the song, you're like, okay, God, where is it? I don't believe that's how it works. It can. But try focusing on maybe the words to the song, or focus on God's goodness. Focus on something from this message, or just flat out relax. I think the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me the past maybe 6 months or so about listening. Just listen for my voice. Listen to where I'm at, what I'm doing, what I want you to do. If we just relax sometimes, we'd be surprised at how much He's trying to get our attention. Allow yourself to relax. Enjoy the moment. You know, lift your hands. Close your eyes. Maybe even kneel. Take communion. Allow yourself to dwell in God's cleansing presence. This is one of the reasons why we decided a few years ago to move worship towards the end of the service. We wanted to flip something up on its head. You know, everybody says, well, you know, worship prepares the heart for the word. It does, but let's try something different. You know, Pastor Dave, he's always wanting to try something different. So we did. What if the word prepared the heart for worship? What if you're sitting here and you're soaking in, even if you're nodding off, you're still hearing it. It's still getting in your spirit. And then when the music starts, you know, what you've heard is stirring up inside of you. And you're more open to worship God. You're more open to raise your hand if Jesus is calling you into His kingdom. You're more open to maybe come up for prayer if you're struggling with something in life. There's a lot of set things in this word, but church services, nowhere in here does it say, you know, one song announcements, sermon offering, three songs, four songs, depending on your church. So we can move things around a little bit. For me, one of the greatest benefits of worship is the cleansing experience of allowing His Holy Spirit to wash me, to cleanse me, to flow through me, and to strengthen me, and to fill me. It really brings into perspective how holy He is and how insignificant I am in the grand scheme of things. You know, and oftentimes I'm up in the sound room and, you know, there's two or three dudes up there and worship will get going and, you know, do you ever get just caught up in worship and the next thing you know, you're like, don't look at me. And we can't close our eyes because we have to be ready in case something's going on and the slide's got to keep rolling. And, you know, so when we're all just straight ahead like this, there's something happening. But it's during these times that the Holy Spirit will give me a word of encouragement. Or maybe a prophetic word about something that's on the horizon or the future or my children or my wife and I, our relationship, our family, or something. It's during those times when I feel the Holy Spirit just fill me up. And He usually says something very direct that He wants me to know. Or sometimes it's an eye-opening revelation of something I've been thinking about. You know, even if you're working on a project, plumbing or electrical or whatever it is, and you're stuck on something, you know, the Holy Spirit can help you out in that. He does me all the time. I'm always asking Him for help. Or Mark Poland. But the most important and enjoyable one of all is when He simply lets me know that He loves me. When Jesus just reaches down and just fills me up and just says, "I love you, Chip. I'm proud of you. I see what you've been doing. I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father. And I'm interceding for you at all times." He wants each one of us to know that. He wants to be able to reach into each one of our lives and say, "I love you, son. I love you, daughter. I'm proud of you." He sees our struggles. He sees our pains. He sees our hurts. But if we let things get in between us, we won't be able to hear Him say, "I love you. Hang in there. I'm proud of you." If we stay focused on the situation, we lose sight of Him. And that whole part where the spiritual battle happens because of worship isn't going to happen. Because we've made our situation bigger than God. And then one more benefit of worship is that it has a way of bringing healing. I grabbed a hold of this verse a long time ago in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. And it says, "We are given a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Do you know what the spirit of heaviness is? It's a sad soul. It's depression. It's hurt. It's anxieties. It's things that carry us down. Not just a bad day, but, you know, that weight that comes with depression. Praise and worship will drive that away. And it will bring joy back into your life. You know, King Saul dealt with a spirit of depression. You know, and depression comes is because of all sorts of reasons. You know, but the Bible, when it tells the story of King Saul, it was specific. It was a spirit of depression. And he would have David come and play the harp. And it would drive that depression away. And it doesn't say this, but I have to wonder, David was a musician. David was also anointed by God. So I'm thinking that there was an anointing when he played that harp, and it drove the spirit of depression away from King Saul. Not permanently, but it was a battle, just like dealing with depression is a battle. But worship can bring you out of that. And then I want to kind of close with a story here in Matthew chapter 8. And it says this, in Matthew chapter 8, this is a story of a leper who came to worship Jesus and then was healed. But it goes like this, Matthew 8, starting in verse 1. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus says, go on your way. Don't tell anybody what just happened. Because he referred to Jesus as Lord, but Jesus' time hadn't come yet, but he knew who he was. But this story is a big deal, these three verses right here. Because, first of all, there's a huge crowd following Jesus, and here comes a man with leprosy. Leprosy is a terrible, terrible skin disease, and they were usually quarantined with other people that had leprosy. They weren't roaming around in public. They weren't allowed to. But here he comes, and he's worshiping Jesus. He's looking for a miracle. He has a serious need, as do some of us. And all it says is he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That sounds like a childlike faith, right? That sounds like somebody that knew what he was asking could be taken care of. And so, could it be? It's just questions that I think about when I read stuff like this. Could it be that his openness to worship Jesus, unhindered and in front of everybody, without the care that he was a leper, allowed the healing powers of Christ to flow through his body? Another question, just to put it out there. Could it be that uninhibited praise is a form of evangelism? You know, oftentimes we invite a friend to church and you know, they're standing next to us and we want to worship, we want to put our hands up, we want to clap, we want to shout, we want to do whatever, but we don't want them to think we're weird. Or oftentimes we want to invite a friend to church, but they might think I'm weird, and that's my church. And so, you know, where else are they supposed to go? They're your friends. We consider ourselves a family here. Wouldn't you want your friends to be a part of your family? I just wonder if the friends of this man who was healed with leprosy worshipped Jesus openly after seeing this miracle. Were they moved by the fact that their friend had such confidence that, you know, I mean, just think about it. Don't go. Ah, there he goes. He's going to be back here in 10 minutes. He went right up to Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, don't hide your worship of the one who saved you. Don't keep it to yourself. And so, these are just a few of the things about worship. When you get into the scriptures, you can see that it's all over there. God created us to worship him. He created us to have fellowship with him. And when we have a close-knit relationship with him, what do we want to do? We want to worship him. We want to praise him. We want to thank him. We want to tell people about him. Here is the amazing thing about the power of worship. When you allow yourself to get into unhindered worship, just, you know, Jesus, I love you, tears, whatever, and the presence of God shows up, miracles will happen that you didn't expect and sometimes didn't even ask for. Great things can happen when we allow the presence of God to do something unique in our lives. God inhabits the praises of his people. When we praise him and worship him, he is there. And he shows up when worship is authentic. Amen? I want to close by reading a passage from Psalm 63. And it goes like this. Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. I will bless you while I live. What does that mean? I will bless you, God. I will live in a way that makes you proud of me. I will honor your name. I will bless you, Lord. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. That's a good meal right there. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Write that down and meditate on that this week. Amen? Let's pray. I'm ready to worship. Well, Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. I know that we just touched the tip of the iceberg when it comes to worship. And I know, Holy Spirit, that you move when we worship God with that childlike faith, unhindered, knowing, Jesus, you are there for us. And I thank you so much, God. I thank you, Jesus, for each person in this room who will experience a touch of your love today. Some need it so bad, Lord, and some just need a reminder. Some don't even need it, but you're going to give it anyways. And I thank you for that, Jesus. Lord, I pray today that during worship, walls come down, chains are broken, depression flees, the enemy hides. We are able to lift up your name, God. Sometimes we don't even know it, but our worship brings a tear to Jesus' eye. Our worship makes him fall in love with us. Over and over again. And I thank you for that, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, we'll have our ushers come up. We'll take our offering. So, if we can have our prayer team up front here, off to the side, and a few things that I just felt Holy Spirit was stirring inside me is that there's a release right now with the prayer team, words of knowledge and words of wisdom, words of prophecy. So those are going to flow through them right now. If you come up for prayer, expect something, particular about your situation to be said. And then a few things that I felt like the Lord wanted to just drive away out of your lives. And for some of you, that might be night terrors. Anybody in here is dealing with night terrors. Somebody else, there's just this looming dark figure over you at nighttime, and you can't shake it, and for whatever reason, but Jesus Christ wants to defeat that today. So if that speaks to somebody in here, come up and get some prayer and drive that away today. And then one more thing is career changes, opportunities, something on the horizon where there's a fork in the road, and maybe you've taken a left and you thought you should have taken a right, or maybe you were forced to just steer one way or the other, just everything's just. My sense, like, the Lord just wants you to know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Lean on me. Listen to my leading, and everything will be just fine. Everything will just be just fine. Okay? Phew! Boy, I sure love you guys. So if you have any other needs, please come up and get prayer. We're going to close out with one more song here, and we'll just expect the Holy Spirit to continue moving and cleansing and filling us. Thank you.
Today's service. Please continue to get prayer if you need it. We look forward to seeing everyone back here next Sunday and have a great week. God is always there.